This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you.
All right, guys. We are back on Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So I appreciate a lot of the emails. I appreciate a lot of the Facebook and Twitters and Instagram messages, especially the ones that aren't predators. So thank you, guys. I've been getting a lot of clean messages lately. It's been really, really nice. But one thing that I'm having a little bit of a challenge answering is what I would recommend for you and your child when it goes to returning to school. Okay, I kind of wrote a piece on, you know, certain medical conditions that might put your child at risk or medications or things like that. But there's a lot of healthy parents and kids out there, God bless them, all of them, that they're not really sure what to do. And so, you know, I'll give you my advice as a parent, but I'll also give you my advice as a doctor. Now, this doesn't work for everybody because everybody's school district is different. And a quick shout out to all the school districts who have been busting their butts all summer. Nobody took a vacation this summer. None of us did. Right? Who busted their butts to try to come up with a plan that, you know, on what would be safe for kids. And so one thing that's circulating that I'm getting asked about is this, and I don't want to name the school, but there's this one, I don't know if it's within the district or if it's just the school, is asking parents to make a decision, right, in the next week or so, and that decision they need to commit to for the semester. Okay, don't make me commit. I'm not good at committing. I committed to Corey, that's fine, but other than that, you know, if you say, look, let's do something 3 Saturdays from now, stuff comes up. Okay, I've lived in a life where stuff just comes up, whether it's a fire, whether it's a whatever. I just can't count on my life being the way it is today 3 weeks from now. So for those of you that have an ultimatum or a restriction or a commitment that you have to make, you better kind of err on the side of caution on which we're going to do. So I get why some of the school districts need to do this. They need to plan ahead staffing. They need to know, you know, who they're going to staff, who they're going to, you know, how much food they're going to order, you know, what they're going to do in terms of cleaning supplies, what they're going to do for supplies. So they kind of need to know exactly how many kids are coming. They can't have this, well, I think I'm going to leave my kid out of school today, but I'll bring them back on Friday, or I might just do a once a week thing. They get parents. Schools get parents. And parents will take advantage. Okay? And parents will non-commit. And they're like, look, okay? You know, up until now, school was mandatory. So either your kid is doing this track or your kid is doing this track or this cohort. Okay? So, if you see that you are committed to taking a cohort, you better make sure you're choosing the right one. So then you want to read a little deeper. And many of us parents are like, kids, go back. Just, you know, put a shirt on and some pants on for crying out loud. Finally take a shower, put some deodorant on and get the hell out of the house and go to school. All right? So that's as a parent where I'm at. However, when you do start to read some of the fine lines on how school is going to look, it's really interesting. There's no congregation. And mind you, I get why the schools are doing this. But with some of these schools, they're like, there's no congregation in the morning. So you know how you kind of wait for the bell or you wait to see your friends? None of that. Okay? You need to either wait on the bus or you need to wait in the car or you need to be waiting in a certain area and you need to social distance. Then you got the temperature things. Then you got the screens or whatever they do. And then you go in and again, no congregating, no crowds. You need to go to a classroom. Now that classroom might be in a gym, might be outside because there's apparently some new data saying that indoors the virus could hang around for 14 minutes in a droplet. 14 minutes. So some classes are thinking about outdoors. Some classes are thinking about putting you in the gym, and then you would be separated. So, you know, the first day, everybody's going to be giggling, right? Okay, but then in between classes, or if you don't get in between classes, there's really not a lot of move around time and socializing. And then some school districts are kind of doing away with lunch, where you just eat lunch in the classroom. Now, how many of you guys were bullied in school? Okay. How many of you sat there in class with somebody doing wet willies? Or you know what people do? They would grab my bra strap, pull it, and I'd be like, no, please don't, please don't. And then I'd go snap, and they're like, ow. All right, so even though I'd be in class and somebody would be far enough away to get to my bra strap, maybe not in the front, but in the back, let's say you don't like the kids in that class. Now, those are the ones you basically are eating lunch with. Okay, you know, I used to bolt out of my classroom, find my group of friends, and that's where I would have my safety. Well, if you're in a classroom and you don't get to kind of be with your friends and all that, and you're just kind of sitting there, that could be an issue if you're in a class with people that you don't like. So parents need to kind of realize that the sending to kids to school for the social aspect, you know, because they need to be around other kids, it doesn't look like that's how the curriculums are being designed, because they have to be COVID era. I mean, if you can't walk into a bank without standing there quietly, 6 feet apart with your mask, basically hands to yourself, arms to yourself, do you think a school is going to allow the kids to be going all like this? No. And so, you know, let's say you have a kid that gets in trouble a lot with their teachers. Okay? All right? I see, if it was me, I see how many places I'd get in trouble. I would get in trouble standing in line. I'd get in trouble with the bubble gum. I'd get in trouble, you know, making jokes about the temperature. Right? I'd be like, oh, you know, are you going to do it? Yeah, where are you going to take the temperature from? You know, put my butt out. I could see myself getting yelled at because I'm congregating, getting yelled at for talking in the girls' bathroom, getting yelled at for, and, you know, so if you have a kid where you just want them to learn and stay out of trouble, you know, look and see how many times you think your kid is going to get dinged during the in-classroom setting. And then organize with parents, if you do choose the online setting, how the kids could still get together and still be able to do sports or clubs or whatever. Most schools, you know, for sports, they're still going to make sure they social distance and, you know, do those kinds of things. I think sports are very, very important. But if you have a kid that, you know, doesn't really follow the rules really, really well, and you think they're going to be, you know, if you think they're going to learn from home and you think you can handle it for the semester and you think they're also at risk, you know, from a medical risk, you know, in terms of getting exposed to flu and coughs and colds, I might choose the online learning. If you think that your kid isn't going to learn jack diddly squat at home and you think they're healthy-wise, then you might want to consider sending them to school. But just realize they're not getting much of a social life going back to school this next semester. 1-877-DOCTOR.
Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safe.
Hey guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason for working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So, you can't make this stuff up. Dr. Anthony Fauci has a baseball card. Now, my brother used to collect baseball cards. I actually wanted to collect baseball cards. I had a tough time getting into baseball. I liked football a little bit more. Baseball, I thought, was a little too slow for me, but I really thought baseball was cool. I was born in L.A., so the team that I kind of found myself closest to were the Dodgers. Don't give me any crap. They did really well with the Astros the other day. So, yeah, as long as nobody cheated. But, so I like the Dodgers. And Anthony Fauci, I guess, threw the ceremonial first pitch at the Major League Baseball opening. And people gave him a hard time, right? They said the reason why his you know, pitch didn't make it is because he was trying to, what did Governor Sisolak say? Trying to demonstrate he doesn't want anybody to catch anything? I don't know. Who knows? Okay, so listen. It really shows you that we, you know, that we really underappreciate what these baseball players do to be able to get that ball across the plate. Okay, he threw, you know, people think, gosh, really, doctors can't throw. No, you don't understand. Dr. Fauci threw better than a lot of us doctors, okay? But there's some doctors out there that are baseball players, and they're pretty athletic, so don't think that Dr. Fauci represents all of us, but just know that his baseball pitch was way better than mine would have been. Mine would have gone backwards. I'm the type of person when I throw, I drop things so the ball goes behind me. So there's a baseball card. Apparently it was being sold, I think, for $9.95, and it sold out. So now, with demand and very little supply, prices go up. So I'm hearing that on eBay, there are people putting, quote, buy it now prices on eBay for a Dr. Fauci baseball card. Okay, so I put the link up on my Facebook page. I mean, you know, collector's items, that's just a whole entire thing. I mean, I love to collect medical antiques. I just love medical antiques. They're probably not worth much because if there's nobody that wants to buy it, then it's worth, you know, a few bucks. But all of a sudden, you get a market where somebody wants it. All of a sudden, the price just inflates. So, you know, right now, you know, a 1910 vaginal speculum, nobody wants, it's worthless. But all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh my gosh, I want a vaginal speculum from the early 1900s. Boom, I start making bucks. So same thing, not that I'd sell it, I really like my medical antiques. But same thing with Dr. Fauci. If COVID memorabilia, which we're going to talk about, ends up being worth something, I see a whole entire market of things we want to, like, you know, like a nasal swab. I mean, you know, if this goes down into history 100 years from now, right? Imagine if you could buy, I'm a doctor, right? So, and I love medical antiques. If I could buy some of the, like, masks and things used back in 1918 during the Spanish flu, I would pay top dollar for it. That, to me, is cool. Well, that's what's happening now. So now with COVID, there are certain things, like the no mask, no service, things like that, keep those. Because in 100 years, if you're still alive, assuming there's no COVID, you might be able to sell them. Because your great-grandchildren will be like, oh my gosh, those are COVID-era stuff. That's very, very cool. So anyway, that's what people are doing with the Dr. Fauci baseball card. Now, Dr. Fauci is being grilled by the House Committee now on the coronavirus response and the coronavirus and his predictions. And he's kind of dropped a couple bombs, all right? One is he doesn't think COVID is going away anytime soon. So this idea that it's going to die off in the summer, I think we've all been like, we were wrong on that one. Okay, and also he is though optimistic that we will have a vaccine. I think so too. When you have over 150 companies, you know, some of whom, you know, made the Z-Pak, right, and or made, you know, some of the most amazing medications we use, you know, to fight cancer, I'm not surprised. I think they're going to come up with a vaccine. So he's optimistic about that. All right. He did, however, say, and there's going to be more coming from him. You know, there's going to be more coming, you know, from this, from his testimony. But he did say that the disparity between the state's approach to masks and social distancing and rules probably led to why we've had this propagation of it. And, you know, he brings up a point, okay? It didn't really make a lot of sense to, you know, people in, let's say, Nevada, where you could have one state wide open next to us, and then you have another state completely restricted, because those people that are completely restricted are going to just head east, and they're going to head to Nevada, right? You know, if you're trying to control the spread and you're trying to tell people to stay home, people aren't going to want to stay home. Now, some other states are like, well, don't come here. If you're going to come here, you need to quarantine. You need to quarantine for 2 weeks. So that's basically them saying we don't want you here. But there really wasn't a homogeneous approach to social distancing and masks. And this is something we've talked about. I think the theme of today is wherever we are now with COVID isn't that much different than when we were earlier in the year. Because where are we at now? Well, we still have cases. We still have COVID-related deaths. We still have hospitals struggling. We have some of the people wearing masks, some of the people don't. We have a lot of disagreement on how much these masks are doing. In fact, studies are coming out saying, you know, masks help, but they aren't 100%. Well, we knew that. I mean, you know, nothing's really that, you know, this was 2020. Everybody thinks that all this brand new medicine came out this year. To be honest, it just kind of recircled. Now hydroxychloroquine might be coming back. Apparently, the Ohio Department of Health has reversed their plan on banning hydroxychloroquine. So they might be bringing it, allowing doctors to use it if they need to. So this back and forth vicious cycle, here we are today, coming into August, right? 2020. We still have cases of COVID. We still don't know how asymptomatic people are shedding it, you know, and shedding, S-H-E-D-D-I-N-G. Okay, got to be careful, it's on air. Right? We believe that we still don't know if people get COVID two or three times, or if that first COVID reactivates. We still don't know about lifelong immunity. We still don't know if the vaccine is going to be just a one-time shot or if we have to do it every year. We still don't know if the vaccine is going to be one shot or multiple shots. And we still don't know when we're going to get our vaccine. Here we are, August 2020, and we're still in the exact same place. But don't be blaming Fauci. Fauci's been doing as good a job as he can. I know you guys get mad that I defend him, but I'm like, he's a nice little doctor. I mean, he's a nice guy, and he's you know, he's just one of us. You know, I mean, and vice, you know, when I say, you know, it just, you know, we look at this big, huge, monstrous beast of the media and of politicians and of Congress and of COVID and all that, and here we are. You know, we're just little doctors, just, you know, not little in terms of size, but in terms of, you know, just we're only, you know, one human being that we're trying to put everything together, and we're trying to be a conduit of information and trying to be the liaison between all this, and we don't know what the hell we're dealing with. It's a crappy virus. So my concern, though, is these mask mandates and these you know, having people stay at home, or, you know, like in California, you know, we're on our way to California, you know, we want to see some family and all that, can't go out to eat anywhere. I think there's some restaurants, but you're not supposed to dine in, or I don't know what the heck is going on. Okay, well, that's fine and dandy, but you have traffic, did the world really expect everybody to just shut down in their homes? If everybody shut down and hankered down, bunkered down, that's what everybody was expecting, which is why they bought my toilet paper. But apparently you need your power to run. So somebody's got to go to the power company. Someone's got to go do that. You need law enforcement. You need hospitals. You need doctors and nurses and nurse practitioners and PAs. You need chiropractors. You need dentists. So we didn't really do a lockdown. So Dr. Fauci kind of brings that up and, you know, clarifies that that's an issue. I don't know if he's going to be grilled on his, baseball technique or his, pitching technique. So, you know, where are we at now? So we have a much better hospital regimen. We found that remdesivir does well. We're still going back and forth where some people are doing well with hydroxychloroquine. And you can bet your butt some doctors are still using it. You know, they're going to probably watch your heart very carefully, and there's probably going to be waivers. But if they're worried about COVID and COVID killing somebody, they're going to use whatever they have. Right? Whether a person likes Donald Trump or not doesn't matter. If we have a medication that might work for you, I mean, I'm telling you right now, you know, God forbid I get COVID, and God forbid I'm, you know, very seriously ill, and that remdesivir and that oxygen and that Zithromax and that zinc and that vitamin C and that vitamin D and that famotidine and, I don't know, the pulmonary toilet or whatever the hell you guys are doing on my lungs, if that's not working, you slap me, right, on a plate some hydroxychloroquine, right, with a steak, because I'm going to be hungry. I don't care about the lactate. Just spice that steak up. And you give me that hydroxychloroquine. Watch my heart. Make sure we have a cardiologist on standby. God forbid I go into an abnormal rhythm. But, I mean, you know, if we're talking life or death, you use what you can. Things are changing. And they're changing. We've made some progress. But if you really kind of look at it, we're kind of right to the same place we were months ago. 1-877-DOCTOR.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you, too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Encouraging news from Dr. Anthony Fauci at a House hearing today on the latest concerning the coronavirus pandemic. Fauci telling lawmakers he's cautiously optimistic about development of a safe, effective coronavirus vaccine by as early as late fall or early this coming winter.
The phase one study, it clearly showed that individuals who were vaccinated mounted a neutralizing antibody response that was at least comparable and in many respects better than what we see in convalescent serum.
Forecasters say that Hurricane Isaias is likely to brush southeastern Florida as early as tomorrow, but then it's going to veer up the eastern seaboard, and the cone of uncertainty over the following days includes the Carolinas, mid-Atlantic states, the New York City area, and southern New England as well. This is USA Radio News. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows saying this morning that the Trump administration has made four different offers to extend unemployment benefits and eviction protection to Democrats as the pandemic continues, but all of the offers have been rejected. Meadows says what's even more surprising to him and President Trump is that Democrats did not counter any of the offers with their own. He says Democrats seem to believe they have all the cards on their side and they're refusing to budge. Still, Meadows says he will continue to meet with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer to try to reach an agreement. Major League Baseball postponing this afternoon's game between the St. Louis Cardinals and Milwaukee Brewers after several Cardinals players tested positive for COVID-19. ESPN says MLB's quick decision came after an outbreak in Miami that has 19 members of the Marlins organization testing positive. This is USA Radio News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here.
On, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, Mimi. Such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Maybe you'll turn back to me when I tell you you're just so
cute. All right, guys, we are back on Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. It's a reflex. I don't know why I keep waving. I just wave. I just do that every time I see the camera. Don't ask why. Need to stop doing that. Okay, and one thing I'd like everybody to stop doing is while, you know, our friend and, for me, radio mentor and colleague and, you know, patriot is, you know, being, is trying to rest in peace, we have this big debate on whether it was Donald Trump's fault and his Tulsa rally on why Herman Cain got COVID. And people are asking me over and over again, what were his medical issues? What were his medical issues on both sides? All right. You have a 74-year-old African-American man who, every time I met him, I mean, you know, he had the energy, he had the, he was spry, he was just so charismatic. He appeared healthy, but as a doctor, you know, you observe some things, and, you know, you observe, you know, well, you know, how's, you know, is his abdomen distended at all? No. You know, how do his eyes look? Does he look jaundiced? No. Does he, you know, and I don't like to medically diagnose anybody when they don't ask me to, so I usually shut the heck up, right? But the reason why there's such debate on both sides is because I think people are a little scared. You know, a lot of you have not known somebody who died of COVID. You've heard of COVID, you've seen your friends have COVID, but for many of you, you've never actually known somebody that actually got COVID and died. And so Herman Cain, for many people in my neck of the woods, because he was very, very hands-on with a lot of people, for many of us, he was the first person we met personally, knew personally, that died of COVID-related complications. So I'm here, I'm supposed to give you guys the facts. I could give you my opinion, but in terms of the facts with Herman Cain, all we're being told, not by media, is that he died of complications to COVID-19. Okay? Now, that term isn't always used. A lot of times people say, yeah, COVID-19 killed him. So what's a COVID-19 death? Well, somebody, you know, starting to get a little bit of a cough, starting to get some body aches, starting to get some fever, starting to get some of those symptoms, and then all of a sudden it just snowballs, and then they start filling up with that gook in their lungs, and then they have trouble breathing, they need to be put on a ventilator, etc. And so when we see a progression of COVID, meanwhile, the heart is looking fine, we don't see a secondary bacterial infection, we see the other organs working well, but somebody keeps progressing, unfortunately, and deteriorating due to COVID, that is a COVID death. That is a COVID-caused COVID death. If there is somebody who has some heart issues, some coronary artery disease, major atherosclerosis, a little bit of an arrhythmia, maybe some hypertrophy of the left ventricle, maybe a little bit of fluid in their lungs, some early CHF, whatever, or some diabetes, or, you know, and then all of a sudden they get COVID, and COVID accelerates, let's say, a heart attack or a heart failure or something else, then those are technically COVID-related deaths because the person might not have died anytime that week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but he got COVID. Now, whether all the hospitals or medical centers are using those terms exactly the way they are is up for grabs because I code, you know, whenever I see a patient medically, and it's a little different. You know, I don't like to diagnose somebody with something until I've tested them for it. So how I was taught, if somebody, let's say, you know, is starting to get, you know, a goiter, they're fatigued, they're gaining weight, I'm like, I need to make sure you don't have a thyroid disorder. I was taught you are not allowed to put hypothyroid. If you put that diagnosis, hypothyroid, you're basically diagnosing them without getting all the facts. And so then I was, as a medical student, going, well, why can't I say rule out hypothyroidism? You can, but you can't, a rule out is not a diagnosis. You have to put what they honestly got to have. Well, they have fatigue and they have a goiter. Then that's what you put as the diagnosis. So that's how you do it in medicine. So if somebody comes in with shortness of breath, you might be like, whoa, all these people around me have COVID. We're calling it COVID. Can't technically call it COVID. That guy has shortness of breath. This is what I teach medical students. So if that guy has shortness of breath, you better also think about the heart. You better also make sure it's not like a pulmonary embolism, a blood clot, or, you know, some other, make sure it's not like a pneumothorax, you know, the lung lining dropped, whatever. Get your test first, and then if you think it's COVID or it's COVID positive, you call it COVID. If not, it is shortness of breath or dyspnea or hypoxia, if they don't have enough oxygen. You have to put as the assessment what they honest to God have, because otherwise, if you're thinking COVID, nobody's checking the heart. Nobody's, you know, watching. Well, in the hospital, they will, but, you know, somebody who's a novice might be thinking, oh, okay, it's COVID. Let's just give him his remdesivir. Meanwhile, they might need diuretics. So, hospitals, and we talked about this, had difficulty in the beginning getting COVID testing. So they didn't have the test. So the CDC said, look, if the guy died, it looks like COVID, it sounds like COVID, you could call it COVID on the secondary or tertiary diagnosis. That's why we have a lot of these COVID diagnoses. So now with Herman Cain, people are like, well, what happened to him? What's his medical history? Well, the very few times I've spoken with Herman Cain, we didn't really get up into his business, you know? All right. I mean, we knew he had metastatic colon cancer, which he was, you know, able to successfully battle. I don't know if he ever had a recurrence of it. I don't know if he ever had coronary artery disease. I don't know if he ever had diabetes. I don't know if he ever had hyperuricemia from gout. So, you know, an African-American 74-year-old black male, many times they might fall, you know, into the hypertensive group, or they might have diabetes or arteriosclerosis, but we don't know, okay? That really hasn't been made public. I'm sure it will be, all right? But what everybody wants to know is, did that rally, where there was a lot of politicizing of wearing masks or not, be the cause of his death? Well, what we do know is he did travel a lot. All right. I think he also traveled to Arizona, so he traveled a lot. And if he chose to not wear a mask at one rally, then, you know, did he also not wear a mask, you know, when he went to a grocery store or when he was around another one of his family members or you know? So I think based on, you know, all the, you know, based on what I know about COVID, you can't say somebody gave you COVID. You can't blame an employer saying you gave me COVID, all right? Because somebody needs to then contact Trace and find out, well, where else did they go? Did they go to a grocery store? Did they go on a date? Did they, you know? And then you have to find out that person you went on a date with if they were exposed. So we're not going to get that data. But the reason why it's being talked about is I think some people are scared. All right, you have a lot of people that were looking at this going, wait a second here. Okay, he looked like a pretty healthy man, pretty spry. He looked healthy at the event. I mean, as much as you could tell in a two-dimensional photo. And, wow, did he die because he went to a rally? Well, I'd like to see that same fear, you know, or that same question asked with everything when we're seeing people protest and try to, you know, assault federal buildings. And, you know, apparently somebody got stabbed. A reporter got stabbed the other night who was following some people from a protest. I mean, I'd like to kind of see that same concern with all of this. I mean, it could be that, you know, it could be that Herman Cain was exposed to COVID at the rally. And that's a horrible, horrible thing to think about. But and you hope it didn't happen, but it might happen. We don't know. I mean, until somebody contact traces and somebody can, you know, check the actual strain of the virus that he got, you know, and be able to trace it back, we won't know for sure. But it scares people because they're like, wait a second, okay, you know, I thought this might have been a fake disease. It's not a fake disease. It's a real disease. It's real. But like I said earlier in the last segment, we know just as much or just as little today as we did in March. Because I'm going to say the exact same thing to you now that I said back in March, okay? This virus picks and chooses who it decides to kill. And it seems to go after men. It seems to go after African Americans. It seems to go after those that might have an underlying coexisting disease, comorbidity such as high blood pressure or diabetes, which we don't know if Herman Cain had. And so if you did have a room of people and you had older individuals and who were African-American and who had medical diseases, there's a higher than normal chance that they're the ones that are going to be exposed. So we still have the question as to why some people die and some people don't. We can't figure that out unless it has to do with the comorbidity or a medication they're on or how quickly treatment was instituted. 1-877-DOC-DOLLAR. Doc Dolly, don't go away.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com. Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there. And many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. Of course, my nose is running. 1-877-DOCDALI. 1-877-DOCDALI. So many of you are kind of nervous because you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs. You don't have a job to go back to. And there's this big debate on what's going to happen to the extra $600 a week as part of your unemployment. And this is also a very contentious topic because you have a lot of business owners upset that they can't get employees to apply or come back to work because the $600 a week is pretty, you know, cush. That's an extra $2,400 a month. That's on top of the, I think, 70 to 75% of previous wages you get from unemployment. So some of you are making $1,000, $1,500 a week, whatever, and it's, you know, why go back to a job, get yourself exposed to COVID? All right. You have both sides of the aisle kind of going back and forth on this. Donald Trump has expressed support for continuing the $600 a week extension. However, it's not indefinite. I think what the administration wants to do is, well, let's just go week by week. All right. Whereas Congress is like, no, we're going to submit a package and that's going to have a date. You know, like whether it's the fall or whether it's Christmas time or whatever. And so, you know, how is that $600 working for people? Well, for those that don't have a job, that don't really have a job to go to, it's saving their butts. It's helping feed their families. It's helping still infuse money into the economy. But for those people who were offered a job and they're like, nah, we're seeing business owners, you know, scratch and claw for oxygen as they can't get employees to come. You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but almost every place I've been to since the reopenings, they all look understaffed. You know, and I see, you know, people get a little kind of antsy in the lines and all that, you know, and, you know, I'll see Corey kind of go, I don't understand why is it taking so long. And I go, because they only have two staff people. Look. And I'm looking at a whole store and you only see two people there. So, you know, getting people to go to work is the trick. So one answer that the GOPs have is, well, then why don't we offer an incentive to go back to work? Now, the incentive to go back to work is $450 a week. So if anybody does math, they're like, wait a second, $600 versus $450 and get exposed? Nah. So the, quote, incentive to go back to work might actually have to be higher than that extra unemployment credit. Maybe what they need to do is either make that incentive higher or maybe lower a little bit, that unemployment extra credit. But the question that nobody's answering is, what do you do if your job is not reopening? What if you work for some of these hotels where they do not plan to reopen for a year because the mandates are just so restrictive and they don't see international travel happening soon? That, you know, what are they supposed to do? And unemployment benefits to expire. But on the other end, when you have people say, you know what, I could get part-time. This is a game some people play, unfortunately, is they'll get part-time unemployment. They'll say, my boss refuses to give me full-time hours. They're forcing me, which I understand why that's there. Sometimes you do have a boss that goes, sorry, I'm only going to give you 10 hours a week. Well, then they can still get their unemployment. But the problem we're hearing is some people were given full-time jobs. Full-time jobs. And they ask their manager, saying, oh, I got babysitting issues or whatever, so just give me 14.9 hours. And that gives them the cutoff so they still get the $600. So it stinks because for the most part, that $600 a week, I think most people back until they see people abuse the system and they're like, whoa. Well, then maybe stop the abuse. I mean, you know, maybe, you know, anybody who was ever offered a full-time job by their employer, that information gets sent to unemployment, so then unemployment knows that, you know, they are, well, this is a person that was offered a job and they're playing games. But what do you do about the people that have a family member that's at home that they don't want to expose them to COVID? I mean, I have two friends right now suffering from COVID. I haven't been around them, but it's very pretty. All right? And they're kind of young. And so, to me, COVID's real, all right? I know it might not be real to a lot of people, but it is still pretty real. And it's affecting people of any age. So if you do have, if you're like, look, I'm not worried about me, I want to support my family, but I also don't want to expose my parents that are living with us, now that's a problem. But then is that on the state or the government? Is that on the average taxpayer? Are you or I responsible for paying for your neighbor to be able to stay home because they're worried about the mother-in-law? So right now, I haven't been feeling it. I mean, whatever money the government's given out, I'm like, fine by me. I mean, I don't feel it. I go help everybody. We need it. But we are going to feel it. It's going to be in the form of inflation. The value of the dollar is going to crash. Something's going to happen. So then we all need to decide, well, what are we going to do? Well, there's not going to be enough industries. We've already talked about that. All right. When I drive around these shopping centers, every other unit is for lease. When I look at marquees, the signs aren't full. Although we do have a lot of businesses open, and their property manager just isn't putting the sign up, and that's a problem. You guys should get on your property managers if that happens. But, you know, automation's going to take over even faster than before because employers are tired of people calling out. I think I have COVID, so I can't come in. Well, if they need to run a business, they're like, you know what, fine, we're going to automate this, we're going to do this online, fine. Now we kind of get that call-out factor out of it. So us calling out like we're supposed to is going to accelerate our employment death. So I like the idea that there might be a $450 a week return to work stimulus. I hate the ideology behind that really we need to encourage you and bribe you to go back to work. Really? I mean, I don't really agree with why we have to do that, but if we're really having a problem out there where people are like, look, I'd be an idiot to give up the extra $600 a week, yeah, I see why we have to have the incentive. And I would rather government incentivize than penalize. I hate it when I hear there's a mandate like for health insurance, and if you don't buy it, you get penalized. I like incentives. So another thing with the stimulus package is there's going to be incentives to employers who keep people on payroll. It's going to incentivize people to go back to work. It's going to incentivize they'll do payroll cuts. There's also going to be tax credits. So I like that idea. But another big question that people have is they own property. They have tenants, and the tenants aren't paying. Why? Because we have the eviction moratorium. Now, the eviction moratorium is a fantastic idea for those people that lost their jobs. They wanted to go back to work. They couldn't go back to work, and they need a place to live. It does no good for any of us having huge homeless populations. But you forgot who's owning those houses or those apartment complexes. Okay, they're not super rich. Some people, that's just, you know, they got an extra house, they need to make ends meet, so they're renting out rooms or they're renting out whatever, and that's their income. So if people aren't paying rent and they can't evict you, now they're stuck. And we're seeing all sorts of landlords beg for help because they could get their home taken away from the bank. If the bank is saying, look, okay, it's okay, we're not going to take your home away, but you will still owe on that mortgage. Now what do landlords do if their tenants haven't been paying rent for 5 months? They still have lost income. So I don't know if there's going to be any landlord relief in this as well. Don't forget about the landlords, because if they lose the apartment complexes or things get, you know, what's the word for it when you, it's not so much an eviction notice, but when there's another term for it where basically the bank's going to own the property and, you know, then you get kicked out. You know, these are things that we also need to guard against. So from what I understand, even though I think it's supposed to be summertime and I think the Senate or the House is supposed to be on vacation, from what I understand, something is supposed to be passed soon because it's the end of July and, you know, and August, so the unemployment benefits are going to run out. But our next move with stimulus packaging and things like that is we need to build more jobs. And I know people are like, well, down the line. I go, no, we need jobs now. If we were caught with our pants down with COVID because of hospitals being maxed, well, then why don't we start building more hospitals? Why don't we start building more public hospitals? Why don't we start, I mean, I think there's a lot of things we could build and then we could hire people for. But right now, if you're expecting the small business owner who's dying to hire their 5 staff employees back who don't want to come back, that's not going to keep this economy afloat. 1-877-DOC-SALLY.
Attention. Attention listeners interested in food supplies. If you've ever wanted to create an endless, crash-proof stockpile of survival food and do it with very little money, pay close attention. This could be a game changer. Because the cost-effective do-it-yourself secrets survival food companies won't tell you about are available. Learn all about them at foodshortageusa.com. Check this out. The economic disruption that's occurred in the last 6 months is going to have consequences. Big ones, especially when it comes to food. The availability of food, as well as the inevitable rising prices, which always get passed on to the consumer. The fact is, hyperinflation has huge implications for food and food prices. Smart listeners, you should begin bracing for impact. The good news? There's still time to learn how to get all your garden vegetables into your pantry, stored away, just in case. Learn how at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.